like faith. And the scripture that you read is unfortunately also, or fortunately, the cornerstone of my message this morning. So that's exactly the same scripture. So I don't know for all of you or for some of us that this message is applicable, but God is making it quite clear that He wants us to be His children and to have faith like children and to operate in the freedom of His children. So I just want to honor Him and thank Him as we start. Father God, thank You that You speak to Your people. Lord, if there's anything that my heart yearns for, is that it's not about a man, it's not about a preacher, it's not about a mic. It's about Your people. It's about Your bride, Lord. It's about You coming in and pouring Your Spirit out on all flesh. You said You'll come in the latter days and pour out Your Spirit on all flesh, Lord. And likewise, we say thank You that You pour out Your Spirit on us, Your people. Not deserving, but that You come by Your grace through Your Son and pour out Your Spirit on everybody and that You speak through Your people. Thank You, Lord, that You clearly want to bring a message home this morning and we open up our hearts that You can speak to us. Lord, even where we think we might be free and are not, we ask, Holy Spirit, come and heal. Come and bring true freedom in our hearts and lives. Lord, I pray this specific message also, Lord, that it will not be bound to us, the hearers of Your word and message, but I pray for everybody in our church, those that's gone away for the weekend or can't make it this morning. I pray that through Your Holy Spirit that this message will reach their hearts as well and stir faith and build faith in Jesus' name. Thank You for Your freedom here today and that our faith will not be based on my words, but Your Holy Spirit and power. Thank You for Your word. Amen. Yeah, if this happens, so when God does this, it really just stirs my childlike faith and it just blesses me. We've done a couple of series this year, but lately we have not, but I think God has been silently busy with a series of Himself. 2 weeks ago, I shared on David's life, and you know, just in the Psalms where he says, taste and know that the Lord is good. And I realize we live in an age where even Christians sometimes don't really know God's goodness, or they've forgotten the taste of God's goodness in their hearts and souls. And we need to remind ourselves, we need to go back to our our testimonies, and just our memorial stones of God's goodness in our lives. And last week, Mac was here, and God just came and wrecked his plans. And on Sunday morning, God just said to him, rather preach on God's Father heart. And he referred to the Father wound. Now, I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands for those who were here, but in all of our lives, knowingly or unknowingly, there's many a times, I don't want to say always, but many a times a father wound. Somewhere where you got hurt a bit about fathering and your natural father. And unfortunately, we tend to, as humans, tend to take this with and drag this all the way with us into our Christian walk, into our relationship with God the Father. Now, if God is the Father, then many a times these old things and these old hurts might just come back. And then we need to trust the Lord to bring real restoration. I've shared out of my life, I'm not going to share that testimony again, but the places where my dad was absent, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, left a massive dent. I love my dad, I honor him. He's passed away, but I honor him. So I'm not speaking bad on towards him, and I'm not dishonoring him. But the fact of the matter is, where he missed it as a fallible human being, it had an effect on my life. And likewise, we can trust God and trust the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, come. Just come into my soul. Come into my heart. And Lord, where there's a hole or where there's a dent, a sore place, come and touch and bring healing. Because we're going to go through this topic today, and you're going to see why I say that and why I believe that the foundation that Mac laid last week and how he just amazingly shared on God's love. I must say, I haven't seen or heard that quite that amazing often or lately, just in the way in which he wasn't trying to sell anything, but you could see it's an inner conviction, it's a truth, it's a substance that he's got in his heart, and out of that place he shared and even cried, and that just touched my heart again. Today we're going to keep it basic. As with me, you guys know me by now, but we keep it basic. And we're going to talk about faith and childlike faith, and I'll pack that, unpack that in a very basic manner, but so that we trust the Holy Spirit, that it can be something that we have in our lives and utilize in our lives, a freedom and a simplicity and a humility that we can have in our lives. Now, before we move on to faith, we've spoken about God the Father because Mac did it last week brilliantly. We need to quickly chat about identity. I'm not going to put you on the spot, Cham. I put him, Johan, on the spot. He was at the discipleship evening the other night, and I asked him, and I'm not going to give the answer either. You need to ask him yourself. But we asked him a couple of difficult questions about life and being around, gone around the block a couple of times with a couple of laps still left, as I said. But there's a certain depth of maturity and something that he can impart to the younger men, which he brilliantly did. But at a stage, I had to ask him, who are you? Because you know what? It's the question I believe all of us get asked every single day. Not as bluntly as Ratif might do it in a meeting, but the enemy comes along and just asks you, who are you? Who are you? Who are you really? And I love what Demi said and about the walls and the facades and the stuff we built up to save ourselves, to save our hurt, even sometimes to cover our shame. Adam and Eve had to do that. They used fig leaves. And sometimes we use fig leafy lies, fig leafy facades to cover our shame and our nakedness and even our sin. And the enemy just comes and he pokes and he just asks you, who are you? I've shared on this before, but I believe it's very, very important that we need to make sure that I had one rugby oni, a guy that, what is the afrachter? A coach, a rugby coach. And I was standard three, grade five. It was before big game, and he's like, jy moet rugby eat, jy moet rugby slaap, jy moet rugby drink, jy moet rugby lees. And he was just sharing, long story short, what he was saying is this, you need to make this part of who you are. Not a good idea, and I think some people actually do it, especially if you're a Blue Bull supporter, but don't go that way. I don't think it's great advice. But he would then jokingly, or maybe not jokingly, say, when I wake you up in the middle of the night, you need to think rugby, drink rugby, eat rugby. And many times we laugh at such stupid analogies, and especially in the way in which I probably portray it. But if I wake you up, and sometimes, unfortunately, if the enemy wakes you up with a dream, a visitation, or something that's not on, he wakes you up in the middle of the night. Who are you? You need to know. It's something that needs to be second nature. It needs to be something that just comes up. Who am I? I've said before that I can either be, in our country, I can be a lawyer, I can be a pastor, I can be white, I can be Afrikaans. All of those things might be facts, but it's not my true identity. It might be a function I fulfill or a culture I belong to, but it's not my true identity. If you wake me up in the middle of the night, I'll hopefully say I'm a son of the Most High God. And let's look at Scripture. We're building a foundation. We need to make sure, and we need to be very sure about our identity before we move on and look at childlike faith. Oh, there's two amazing children. Erken jy daai foto? Ek sal royalties betaal op 'n manier. You can come for dinner again. But there's just a way in which children operate, which we're going to look at today, which is amazing. Identity. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, or cry, Abba, Father. Whose hearts have cried out, Abba, Father? Okay, great. Three sons in the house. I'm going to ask that again. Guys, eat rugby, slaap rugby, drink. Remember, whose heart has ever cried out to God saying, Abba, Father? Great. I see there's still work to do. John 1, 12 to 13. We're looking at identity. But as many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God. Receive Jesus. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now, if you believe in Jesus and if you receive him as your Lord and Savior, that is you. You become a son of God. Now, quickly, just because sometimes people get hurt or even offended by it, if we say son, does that include ladies as well? Sons and daughters of the Most High God. Paul himself said in Galatians 3, verse 28, it's not on there. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So, ladies, don't worry about it. You can also be sons of the Most High God. An identity. It's not a sexual or type of thing, but it is an identity before God as a child of God. So need not worry about that we all are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Now, if that is settled in your heart, and if you truly believe that you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God, the faith element and the true identity element of that comes much easier. We can go on to the next slide. Thanks. Now, quickly, just one morning here in Sunningdale, I was just giving a message to the kids, and I so desperately wanted to explain faith to them. I'll ask one of you. Obviously, I know what the scripture says, and that's good, but to explain it to kids was quite difficult, and I'm not saying this is perfect, but the vision that came up was just a car. Now, if we've got a car parked up here, the idea for a car is to move from A to B. We need to move. And the car obviously needs to have an engine, right? Now, what is the fluid that this car needs so that it can move its engine or turn its engine so that it can move itself? What is it? Petrol. Okay, thank you. Kan sien jy's deeldag doenig met kinders. You need some petrol. But if I've got a car, a brilliant, beautiful car parked out here, and you say, oh, great, and it's not diesel-driven, it's petrol-driven, how would you know if it's got petrol in it or not? It'll be able to move, start, and then move from A to B. From the outside looking in, you'll see it's a car. Yes, it's meant to move, but if it doesn't move, you've got no idea if there's petrol in it or not. The only way in which you can just use your goeie gesonde verstand to know that this car does actually have some petrol in it is if it is actually moving from A to B. Short end of that is that I can look like a Christian, I can dress like a Christian, I can have Christian knees, I can have the bumper sticker, I can have the Facebook status, etc., etc. But the only way in which you can know that there is truly faith in me is that I move according to Christ's will. If I follow Christ, if you can see a little bit of the Word in me, if you can see the God's Spirit in me. Many a times, unfortunately, we get Christians out there that they are Christians as this vehicle, but there's absolutely no petrol in it. Petrol is the thing that will help this car to move. Likewise, the petrol, the faith in our hearts, in our tanks, is the thing that will propel and move us along with God or following God. Very simple picture. Let's look at Scripture, Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists. Must believe that it sounds so simple, but there's where faith starts. Must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. So yes, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Some people in charismatic circles will like to tell you, well, you can't please God and God does need no pleasing. Well, this is in the New Testament and God needs a fair bit of pleasing. Yes, but it's Christ. You cannot do anything of your own. It is Christ. How do you get to Christ? How do you get on board? How do you take Christ and put him on? How do you receive him? You receive him by faith. Without faith, we won't even have Christ in our lives. So it all starts off and it's quite important that we have this faith in our hearts. And that we, through faith, can obviously enter into a relationship with God. We're going to get to the kids or the children right now. We're building a bit of a foundation. We're saying, hey guys, what's your identity? Are you truly a son and daughter of the Most High God? Yes, I am. Great. Let's look at faith. Just a quick quick definition of what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith, right, just if you focus on anything, just focus for a moment here. Now, faith is the substance, matter, heaviness of things hoped for. So there's a weightiness to faith. The evidence of things not seen. Sounds weird, but it's not that weird at all. Now, the first time I ever believed I heard God's voice was when I heard that God said that Edna will be my wife. Now, this is a very, especially for a pastor, this is a very daunting thing to share, because I've also seen a lot of guys running around saying X, Y, and Z is my husband and wife, and it need not always be the perfect story. But it does not take away that this testimony is true in my life. So I'm going to share it. I do it, and I know it's a bit risky. In some churches, you find a beautiful young lady, and then five guys believe that they've heard of God, that this is their wife. Seems like God is a bit confused when it comes to the real pretty girls. But anyway, so guys, be careful. I don't know who the other four was with you, Edna, but I heard correctly by the grace of God. I was sitting in the bib in the library at Stellenbosch studying for one of my law subjects, and I've been saved then for a couple of months, and so I was just seeking and knocking and asking God, and obviously I was in love as well, and so for the first time I could really sense that, wow, I believe that was God's voice that was just now speaking to me. And in a moment, I just sensed this absolute peace. I didn't hear a massive voice. It wasn't the Tani over the intercom either. I knew God had spoken to my heart that I will one day marry Edna. It didn't seem very likely at that stage because I was a bit of a rough diamond, especially then. Long story short, God gave me a clear vision of me and her and then Jesus in the middle. And behind, at the back of that was a church. And in that vision, it actually looks a fair bit like the place that we got married in the Ribeck Castile. And in that moment, it's this murky vision that you get, that you think about. It wasn't somebody that wrote something on a page. It wasn't a photo taken that was WhatsApp to me. It's this murky thing in my imagination. And then there's this voice, a still small voice that I think is my own. And now I've got these two things. I've got this vision. I've got this thing that I think it was God's voice saying that Edna will be my wife. And then I had a choice. Am I going to believe that God has just spoken to me? Am I going to believe that this is what I've just been downloaded by the Holy Spirit? Obviously, now I know. Will I receive this now as evidence? Do I take hold of this as substance? Or do I just ignore my vision, ignore what has just happened in my heart, go on with my study and go right and go on with life? And many a times with faith, we get to that moment. If God speaks, He whispers something. Sometimes He'll tell you, stop, leave, go, don't go. Many a times we get to these moments and God comes with the evidence. He comes with the substance. He comes with the faith. And now you can decide, am I going to make this my own? Am I going to receive this? Am I going to have a childlike heart and receive this from my Father? Now, luckily for me, as you can see, it was God that spoke to me. Does that mean it's going to be an easy ride, just by the way? Not necessarily. Mac also shared on that at the marriage enrichment, and that was so brilliant. That even if God speaks something very prophetically, there was still work to be done. There was still a way in which I couldn't fulfill it myself, but there was a way in which I could align with it. I kept on, and sometime during the course of how our relationship and our friendship grew, there were many a times where I needed to hold on to that. Even coming out of the world then with a rough background and having my own sin and issues and trying to just find out who the heck am I had to hold on to that substance. I had to hold on to that evidence for it to come to fruition. I hope everybody is with me. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. We've heard it many times, people talk about blind faith. Do you get blind faith, guys? I don't think you get blind faith. I believe faith can always see. It does not see with a natural eye. Because if I need to have faith to believe that this is unleashed, that it's not really faith. It's called certainty, and I see it with eyes. But if my heart's eyes need to know and see that Edna is my wife, even though it's 6 years down the line, it's not blind. Faith's eyes need to be quite wide open. And I think many a times blind faith is something that we just run into a wall thinking, ah, God is good. Bwah! And then we fall down and our nose is broken. We bleed all over the place and we're offended with God. No, my friend, God never told you. If I should, I thought of this in this example. If I should drive down Kloof Neck back into Cape Town from Camps by Side, and I drive down that beautiful road and I look ahead and I'm like, Lord, I'd rather watch the scenery than hold the steering wheel and the controls of the car, and I just leave it because God is a good God. I leave it because God will protect me, and I leave it because it's just a nice idea and I feel like it. I'll probably run into bump into and run my car into either a tree or a house or a cafe or something. And many times we get out of the car and we think, Lord, what have you done? And there's a difference between, and I say this with most respect, there's a difference between faith and stupidity sometimes. So faith is something, not just a blanket thing where we say, well, oh Lord, I just let go of everything because you're good. No, there's a place where God says, he shows you a picture, he gives you evidence. And it's not a vision or a word in your heart many a times. Many a times it's this. It's the promises of God, each and every one of them. It's the word of God. If you tell me, Retief, I left the steering wheel and I left all controls of the car because, and you can give me a scripture that gives substance and evidence in that situation, then I'll say, okay, cool, I understand. If you ran the car into a wall, I'll say, well, I think God obviously didn't lead you in that. Faith is based on substance. Faith is based on evidence of things unseen. Here's a nice quote for us. The next one. Those who have faith need no explanation. For those who have no faith, no explanation is possible. You can think about it for a moment. Faith is not something, I tried to put it in a box this week, guys. I really did. And the more I tried to put faith in a box, the less I could. But I know it's supernatural, I know it's godly, and I know it's of God. And it's something many a times when you would say, the Lord led us to move to Malmesbury when it didn't make any sense. We were there, as you know, without employment and an income, or real employment and a real income. And at the end of the day, it was 3.5 years without an income. And yet, to the world, it didn't make sense, but God was keeping on speaking to us very clearly. He was keep giving us faith evidence, faith substance, nuggets all along the way. Those who have faith need no explanation. For those who have no faith, no explanation is possible. Sometimes it's difficult. I cannot explain faith to you. It's not a head thing, it's a heart thing. We need to trust God supernaturally, the God the Father, God the King, to come and bless us with faith for the things that we need. And unfortunately, we find ourselves in a situation where we, as Christians, many a times, and I speak about myself, find ourselves in a lukewarm situation where much of my faith, much of my trust is built on things of this world and things of the flesh, things in which I can control, and some of that of God. But I don't know who was it that said, that it was Johan that said, that freedom, you can't have part freedom or part of the goodness, part of the positives of Christ-like living. You need to have both feet in his kingdom. Faith is not needed when you need the job. Faith is not needed only when you want the wife. Faith is not needed when your son and daughter is sick or ill. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is the way in which we should live daily. And I'm not trying harder, but I trust that God will take us to that place of freedom. We're going to get there now, of where he can, obviously, bring us to a place of freedom as children. And what is childlike faith? Let's read the scripture. At the time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then he called the child to him and had him stand among them. "I assure you," he said, "unless you are converted and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Who likes that part of scripture? Who finds it difficult? I mean, it is quite difficult as well sometimes. I'm going to read it again. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then he called the child to him and had him stand among them. "I assure you," he said, "unless you are converted and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." When last have you had a look and watched closely at a child playing or operating or just being? When last? Lately, grandchildren. I've got the privilege to have a 2.5 and a 5-year-old daughters. I watch them a lot. I'm in and out of home. I see them quite often. I'm very privileged. In other words, ek hou hulle dop. Ek kyk wat hulle doen. And it's just amazing how their lives just are so much different than mine. Their headspace, their heart space, or many a times, like Demi so perfectly said, is so much different than ours. Hulle inhibisies in their not so prideful nature is so much different than adults. The disciples come to Jesus and say, "Who is the greatest?" Remember I said to you earlier, constantly we get asked, VSJ, who are you? What's your identity? The world will ask you, "Hey, Umyuan, are you great?" The world wants to know, "Are you great? Chris, what do you drive?" You don't have to answer me hypothetical questions, throwing it around, making you think. What do you drive? At least, what bly jy? Nie hoef te sê nie. Beskerm yourself. No, just like, who's your friend? Edna, how often do you shop at Woolworths? Don't tell me. Wolfie, what bicycle do you ride? Oh, Ryan, do you have a BMW? The world would like to know from you how great you are. The world would love to know, what is your salary? You know, a while back, God blessed me and I had a double cab Bucky and then I had a Ford Icon. Small car, nice big Bucky. Do you have any idea how people treated me on the road? If a Range Rover Sport, a black Range Rover Sport, will come at the back on the West Coast Road, at the back of my little Ford Icon, 2005 model, with rust spots, the way in which they will deal with me, and it's just something you pick up, it's difficult to explain, is entirely different than the way they would have treated me if I was in a Bucky like Petri currently drives. It's, what? Is it? It's maybe your authority, no, it's your authority in the spirit. But it's just totally different. They won't ram at the back. They won't flash and all. They'll treat you with a bit more respect. Now, James, Jacobus, tells us a lot about the way we should treat people, being rich or poor. And it's not today's sermon either. But it's just so interesting how the world just wants to know, hey, are you great? What do you do? Who are you? And it's not based on the word of God at all. It's based on stuff that we can see with our physical eyes many a time. And now, the disciples, obviously coming from a culture and now introduced into a new kingdom culture, they're like, I want to be one of the men. I want to be one of the guys. I want to be great one day. We all have these aspirations, and it's not an ungodly thing entirely, unless it's based on lies. Then it's a bit of a problem, and when a wobble comes, you fall quite hard. Getting back to the disciples, they wanted to know who's great in the kingdom of God. Because now they're rubbing shoulders with the Messiah. That's quite cool. They're seeing miracle signs and wonders. They're the who's who in the zoo of that time period. And now they also want some of this great stuff. And yet he calls a little child and says, these ones are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What is your definition of greatness? What is your definition of freedom? To like the rich young man, go and sell everything, give it to the poor, and follow Christ? What is your definition of greatness? Now, I can tell you what the definition of what I believe is the definition of greatness to a young child. Have you ever heard or seen 3-4 little boys out on the playground playing? Are the one trying to impress the other one with their own greatness? Or do we find these cliche type of conversations where my dad is the fastest? My dad's got 2 cars. My dad can catch big fish, huh? My dad is a policeman. My dad is 2 policemen. And so they just push the boundaries of greatness, but it's not found in themselves. True sons and daughters, I believe, find their greatness not in who they are, but in whose they are. They will have these little fights around the alabasters, saying that my dad's got these big goons and 60 alabasters at home. And they'll try to outwit one another, but the greatness will be found not in man, not in him or herself, but in whose they are. Another word that pops up there is kingdom. Anybody with a definition of kingdom? What is kingdom to you? And how relevant is kingdom in today, in your life? How relevant is kingdom? What is a kingdom? Amen. Very basic. Not a basic answer, but a basic truth. But a kingdom has a king. Are you, guys, sons, daughters, are you part of a kingdom? Thanks. Thanks, Abby. Abby will always share the truth with us. That's so awesome. He's such a disciple of Jesus. But yes, we're in a kingdom and we've got a king. What is the world? They ask you, what is so great about you? Are you great? And the world would love you to be a king. We live in a consumerist Western culture where it is quite frankly about yourself. I've got my rights. I'm entitled. I pay for this, and I need to get what I pay for. We've become little kings in our Western culture. And many times we then, when we get to church, or where God says, be my disciple and do this weird thing with me or for me, or come with me, lay down your life, it's like one kingdom clashing with another. A kingdom's got a king, like Omyan said. Likewise, a son and a daughter has a father. Simple truth. But guys, do we actually practice that and put that in place? I love what Tiens Jacobs a while back said, that the kingdom comes, or the kingdom will be where the king rules. The kingdom will be where the king's will takes place. Sounds like very basic, but it's quite hardcore. If you look at your budget, you get into your bank account, you're planning for your career, and you just scan through that and say, Lord, what of this is my will, what of this is your will? The way I eat, the way I dress, the way I conduct myself. I'm not saying God wanted little robots. He gave us 3 will to get back to in relationship with him, but by choice, by heart, not by obligation. So hear my heart with this. But I've said it before, I've tried life on my own, being my own king, and I really echoed my Ali Hasi. To put it in no uncertain terms. I can put it much more bluntly than that, but we can do it after church. And I'm quite fervently passionate about that. I know what my life looks like when I am the king. And my life is so much more better, so much more worth, so much more amazing when he is rightfully the king. But we need to be able to say, Lord, not only this, but this part, you can also be king of. Children, Frida is not walking around. They've got, one of the grandmas gave them little purses. Is it Barbie or wallets? Little Bobby wallets. She doesn't carry that thing around the whole day. In fact, she forgot that she's got one. There's a couple of bucks in there. Not a lot, but there is something in there. She doesn't go to it every now and again and just check if it's still there. She doesn't go and count it the whole time. She doesn't go and flash it around. She doesn't post stuff on Facebook about it. She couldn't care less about what goes on in her Barbie wallet. Frida is not busy building her own estate. Frida only wants this, I believe. Frida is my daughter, for those of you who don't know. She wants security. She doesn't say it, but I know it. She wants protection. She wants to feel loved. And something I know that she yearns for and really needs is to know her true identity. She couldn't care less if she's got a car, a bicycle, 16 Barbies or one. Or if the Lego is fake or the real Lego. Or if it's Norma Clearer, brand name clothes or not. Yes, obviously we grow into these things, unfortunately, because of culture. But she need not worry about an estate or her kingdom. She wants safety, protection, loved, and to be cared for. There's a conversion that can take place. I think it's the previous one, if you don't mind. There's a conversion that needs to be taking place. And I think, Demi, you read out of the Amplified just now, correct? And I just love how the Amplified just says this. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless you repent, that is, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, live changed lives and become like children, trusting, humble, forgiving, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is lastly what I didn't say about the kingdom of heaven. Yes, the kingdom of heaven is one day. We're going to go to the kingdom of heaven. But can the kingdom come on earth now already? Yes or no? Yes, obviously. Jesus said, the Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. You king there, you rule there, your will transpires there, God, but it's not happening down here, but my prayer is let it be. If I just drive and I just leave everything and I'll hit the wall, let the kingdom come? No. Reality came, struck me quite hard. But no, I should pray and say, cool down. It's a battle, Lord. Let your kingdom, let your will come down and be evident in my life. Because out of that, amazing fruit comes. Out of that, true freedom comes. A conversion needs to take place. Now, what can we learn from children here? They're like little sponges. And actually, Monique should come and share to us about the way in which they can learn. I guess these days it becomes a bit harder, but if it's small children, they're so eager to learn. They're so eager to sponge up God's goodness. They're so easily pleasable, but easy teachable as well. Frida was at a stage, and she's kind of still there. Hukom? Hukom? And it's not a rebellious hukom. She actually wants to know why. Why? Ma papa hukom? Papa, ma hukom? And you just need to keep on explaining and explaining. But she's just sponging it in. She's not coming with some sort of rejected agenda, saying, well, don't teach me anything. She just comes and she just sponges it in. How eager are you to learn? Have you been around the block and made up your mind that I know what I know? There's not much anybody can teach me. There's not much God can teach me through anybody. I kind of know what I know, and I've made up my mind about life. I've made up my mind about Christianity. And quite frankly, I think I've made up my mind about God. Thanks, but no thanks. And that's exactly the spirit of this world. Children don't have that. Children don't have that. Let's look at a couple of attributes of the children. Maybe I'll ask you first. What is a characteristic that you would think of when I say children? Fun. Love unconditionally. I don't have that. That's good. Love unconditionally. See, they love Demi. Even the teacher that scowls them now and again, they love her and they make her cry. Anything else? Guys, characteristics of children. Energy, enthusiasm. Accepting. Hectic, yes, that's true. They don't make such distinctions if you drive a Toyota Bucky or a old Ford Icon with a bit of rust. Adaptable. Yes, they're so bendable. Resilient. Three. Anything else? Spontaneous. Spontaneous answer there from Demi. You're quite spontaneous. Seeking love or attention. Anything else? I like that. I like all of it. But I like, see, I look at just my pastorally or heart. What you see is what you get. They're honest. They're honest. They're too honest. Yeah, Frida will ask Edna. She'll tell her, Mama, you're like, mooi, gaan je make-up aanzet? Edna referred to it, so I had the liberty to share. But Edna is a child of God, so she doesn't take offense at all. But what you see is what you get with children. Can God say this about me? Can God say this about you? Obviously, He sees right through you. But is it a question of what you see is what you get? And when last have you really been honest to God? When last have you really been honest to God? I know sometimes with children, it can, especially in a shop, can be a bit of a problem. And they'll look at somebody very weird and make you want to hide. But what you see is what you get, and they are quite honest. There's a freedom. Now, just quickly, I said there, and it's not an exact science, but guys, we need to ask God, Lord, am I identity in you certain? Is it settled in my heart? Is it whole? Is it healed? And likewise, not only my identity as a son or daughter of God, looking at you as a father, and we've talked about the father picture and just the father heart of God, and I'm not going to go into detail, but it's something we need to now and again just stop and think. How do I see God? Is my identity, is His identity in my heart and my identity towards God a certain thing? Because it's a place where the enemy starts and will always keep on attacking. So you need to know as you know, as you know. He said to Jesus, the Son of God, did God really say, if you are the Son of God, then, ... If you are the Son of God. Now, if the devil came and questioned Jesus' sonship, with all due respect, I think he'll try to do that with you. Jesus obviously was Jesus. But praise God, His Spirit lives inside of us. His certain Spirit, His steadfast Spirit lives inside of us. But it's these minds that we need to trust God to renew so that I can say, I'm a son of the Most High God. If everything falls flat, as die feierboom nie bot nie. If things does not happen the way I thought it should have happened, then I can still say, I'm a son of the Most High God. Identity helps us with trust. If you struggle to trust God, say, Lord, let's scratch the surface. How is my identity towards you? Do I really feel or see myself as a son of God? And that leads to a fertile ground, I believe, to have faithful, to be a faithful children of God. I'm ending off with the following, and that's just a question. Are you faithful? Or are your tank of faith full at the moment? It's not a self-righteous thing. It's not a religious thing. It's just saying, if we look at children, they're free. They're humble. They easily adjust. They look up and they've got a king and father in their lives, which is not themselves. They've got a freedom, quite frankly, which sometimes we lack or miss. They can easily believe. Frida, once we were living in Malmesbury, couldn't afford anything at that stage, and she asked for a trampoline. So it was an absolute impossibility. So I just wanted to laugh it off and say, there's no way in ever that we can buy you a trampoline, because that's the way I felt. But luckily, we were having a quiet time that night, read through a Bible, and I said to her, you know what? I was actually putting out my faith and passing the buck. I said, well, you can pray about it. And I said, if you want a trampoline, ask Frafi Jesus for a trampoline. Thinking, Lord. So for a couple of months, each and every night, we'll pray for this trampoline. Dankie Jesus my trampoline, dankie Jesus my trampoline. To a stage we see God, and even before we prayed, she said, as Mikey's kon kuier, I'll put this in English just so, but as maatjies kom kuier, dan gaan ek my trampoline in my kamer bære. In other words, I'm not going to share my trampoline. That's not a good thing. That's bad fruit. I'm not saying that's good. But what is good is she had faith. Her place was not in asking and begging Jesus for the trampoline. Is he not going to give it? It was at a place where she had substance. She knew she's going to get a trampoline. And when she gets it, she's going to hide it when the friends come over. Many times we are like that. Which is not, again, I say, a good fruit. We're working on that sharing thing. But the good thing is that she had faith. She was not begging and asking Jesus anymore. She was now walking and just saying, it's a matter of time. And by God's grace, we didn't ask them, but my parents-in-law said, well, I don't know if they saw an ad or what happened. They just said, well, couldn't we buy Frida a trampoline? And I was just like, praise the Here. And they bought her. It was a massive mission for me to set up the thing. I was thinking three times about the good idea. But it was a great exercise in faith building for Frida. And likewise, God can do the exact same thing with you. It's not about materialism. So guys, unless God directs you, don't start praying for the X5 or the Mercedes C-Class. The bottom line is there's something that was imparted there was quite cool, and we only get that with kids. Romans 12:3 says the following, for by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Kids get that right. They couldn't care less. I just want to go on with life and play. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Guys, we've been given, blessed with a measure of faith. I can't say how big it is. Some of us have been granted by the grace of God a gift of faith even. That's like Angus Buchan. I'm fairly certain that he's got a gift of faith in his life. Just to go that extra mile, not for his own sake, to get glory for himself, but for the kingdom, which he does. We've all been given a measure of faith, but John 10:10 says the following, that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. What's the difference between me and the me of 30 years back? There's a lot of theft. A lot of hurt, actually. A lot of moments of disappointment. A lot of shots, a lot of curveballs, a lot of stabs. And we're not glorifying the enemy. Hear my heart loud and clear. But we are facing reality and say, hey guys, we do get hurt. I trust that it will not be the case for Frida and Sophia. I tried my utmost best and I pray as much as I can, speak promises over them that God will protect them, that they will have a better chance. But life do happens. And it is a battle and the enemy comes and kills, steals and destroys. And likewise, I believe, and that's why we need to talk about identity, the Father heart of God, and say, where have you been punctured? Where have you been hurt? Where have that measure of faith been hurt to such an extent where you can't trust him for the trampoline anymore? Edna and I was on mission in Germany in July. We went to Munich. She did a small conference for the ladies, me for the men, and then we preached and went around and prayed and served the community, or served the church. It was amazing. It was a step of faith to get there in the first place. Massive. And God came through. We had to believe him like children. But my testimony is not a very spiritual one. It's actually, a very human one. But one evening we had off, they had a church meeting. Now, for those who did, let me not go. I like to mission. Edna likes to mission with me. But we were just walking down the road, and I said, well, let's just go a bit further. Let's just go explore that part of Munich. Let's just go down there. And so I think it became like 4 hours later that we just walked and walked and walked and walked. And it was so much fun. But she desperately wanted some of the ice cream that was way back 4 hours ago. And I said, no, there will be other places. But there wasn't other places. We couldn't find. And so then we kept on walking, couldn't get the ice cream. And later on, I developed the urgency for good coffee. So I wanted coffee, she wanted ice cream. Hey guys, this is a very spiritual thing on missions. But anyway, you'll hear the heart just now. And so we walked, and it was 4 hours later. It wasn't only that we did explore and enjoy it. And so we were heading back and thinking, well, we just ignore that. And we walked down this road, then down that passage, etc. We're heading back to the station to catch a train out. And we walked down the road, and We just felt we should walk around this side. We walked down there, and then Edna, not me, because I'm usually the one that, let's go down here, let's do this, and let's explore a bit more. She said, well, let's just go down this little steegi. What's a steegi in English? A little alleyway. And so we walked down that alleyway, and lo and behold, because the rest was bars and a couple of other places that was open, no ice cream place, there was an ice cream place, but it's like hidden. It's the smallest of alleyways that I've seen, and we just walk in, there's a little ice cream place, and long story short, obviously they've got brilliant coffee. And we're like, haha, praise Here, God is good. And he led us to this place, and we went and we go, sat down, I have my coffee, she has an ice cream. And if you can just go to the next slide, I look up, next one then. If you can go to the next one. Now, there's one back. Another one back. Ha, there's the one. I look up. Here's the little coffee shop down here. And I see the street name. And it's Heilige Geist Street. Or Heilige Geist Straße or Street. Heilige Geist Straat. And it was this weird thing. We were walking for 4 hours. Where I could have easily given her the ice cream way back. We were just heading and scouting. And so we just gave up. But the Lord led us around two corners. Then down this little alleyway, we got coffee and ice cream, which is not going to change eternity. We take a seat, we look up, and we see this, and we just know that God just, I believe God was just chuckling or having a laugh about that moment. And such is life with God. Such is life as children of God. Yes, we get hurt. Yes, we get punched. But there's a place where God comes, and I believe He restores, and it's through Christ Jesus. Who was the first Son of God? Jesus. Who's the one we look to? Jesus. Who said that I do not do anything on my own? I don't say anything on my own. But what God says and leads me to do. Jesus. And there's a freedom that we can catch hold of. And I've got, praise God for that, I've got many a testimonies of having to surrender my own ways. The word says that the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Many times the wisdom of this world, the little plans of the flesh, is foolishness to God. Mian started it off. Demi gave away the game. And this is just the last part of it. Guys, we're called into a place to be real children of God. Does children know where, always know all the plans? Do they have the control? Do they have the full picture? Does faith give you the full picture? No, it doesn't. But it's an exciting journey with a Father that loves you, that makes up life. Faith is not to have the full picture and be certain before you take the first step. Faith is catching hold of a little bit as God gives as a child and saying, I trust you, I know who you are, I know who I am, thus I'm taking a step. And in that, you get hold of something else. And soon you'll see God is painting an amazing canvas. He's painting an amazing picture of your life, your relationship, your calling, your ministry. Yes, the shots come along, but you say, Lord, come and heal, come and restore. You receive Christ again in His healing by faith. And so God will keep on painting. But we need to give Him the brush. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that... It's an easy cliche to say I'm a child of God or we're children of God, but it's an entirely different ballgame, I believe, when we live such a lifestyle in its entirety. Lord, thank You. It's not about trampolines and it's not about ice cream. It's, in fact, about the nations that need You to see You as a Father. It's about us living wholehearted and filled lives in this community to get reached by God the Father, a loving Father. But in the process, I believe there's a place where we can have fun. But also a place where we surrender and say, Lord, I do not have the full picture, but I trust You. God, I do not know the whole road, but I know that You're my Father. God, I want to be part of a kingdom, and I know it entails that You are the King. Lord, I pray that you come and bring restoration and healing in our hearts, that you will touch our lives and bring true freedom, that we can live as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Just quickly, if you just trust the Lord for healing and restoration, to live a surrendered life free as a son of God or a daughter of God, just raise your hand and we're going to pray. Lord, I thank you for these hands. Thank you, God, that you could just come and take off the shackles. Lord, that there where the devil came in to kill, steal, and destroy, Lord, that you will restore sevenfold. Thank you, Lord, that David said in the Psalms that you restore my youth like that of an eagle. Come and restore our childlike hearts, Lord. Thank you, God, that we know that you didn't call us to be childish, but childlike. Thank you, Lord, for good stewardship in our childlikeness. But I pray that you will go in deep, Holy Spirit, into these hearts, and you bring true restoration, true freedom. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that. Lord, and I'm just convicted of this word, or the spirit of pride, Lord. We just come and repent of a spirit of pride. Offense many a times with you, offense with people comes out of a root of pride. Lord, we repent our pride. God, we just say, Lord, we don't know. Lord, I've tried life on my own and I've dismally failed. I was building my own greatness and own kingdom and it failed. So, Lord, help me to glorify you and build your kingdom. Help us to be a people that is not full of pride, but full of freedom. And I believe the opposite of pride is in fact just to see things correctly. To see Christ, to see God as a holy God and a loving Father. And we just ask you for that, God. Help us to surrender daily. Help us to see your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. We honor you for that. Amen. We're going to end off now. But if you need prayer, I believe really trusting God through His Holy Spirit to bring healing and restoration where it's not. So if your baby is leaping, in other words, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, please come for prayer. There will be a couple of us that can pray with you. Even in the mother's room, if there's something on your heart, come around and let's pray this thing through, because God obviously wanted to share this with us today. Let us not miss what he wants to give us.